Anyway, appropriately, I guess, it's the Canadian that does the introduction work this week, regardless of what order it's supposed to be. Hello and welcome to Cage Dive, the podcast where my co-host and I dive to the depths, the very beginning of the great Nicolas Cage's career, and we slowly ascend to the surface. As we go film by film, and we are currently stuck in 1986, but we'll get to the exact movie that we're discussing after I say I'm Desmond, and this is Brian.
Hello!
It's like, I should probably get to Brian sometime soon. How's it going, Brian?
Good. Well, you want to ascend slowly, because otherwise you get those cage bends. And that's not good for anybody.
I don't really know what bends is, but I know you don't want it. Just because I saw a G.I. Joe cartoon where they brought the Cobra guys up really fast, and they were just grabbing their stomachs and rolling around on the ground. So that's kind of my interpretation of the bends.
Yeah, I'd always heard you could get an air bubble on your brain, which terrified me.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Say whether it's true or not, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's another thing that kind of freaked me out when I was a kid, is like the assassin walking into the hospital room with a syringe to inject oxygen into the line.
Yeah.
Right? Or Amazing Spider-Man comics did it once, where the guy just like pulled the poison out of the center of a rose. I was like, I didn't even know roses were poisonous.
Me neither. Now I'm terrified of roses.
And he injected that into the line. Very wild. Very wild stuff. I don't know how we got there.
I was going to say, there's no poisoning in this movie.
How the hell did we get there? Oh my God. That is a record for earliest tangent in this podcast. Haven't even mentioned the name of the film that we're covering yet. It's a film that I saw very long ago, didn't really remember any of it. It's basically a Canadian heritage moment spread out over 2 hours. Well, more like 100 minutes, but we're talking about The Boy in Blue, which does meet the qualifications for Canadian content, in that, let me get this right here, it is both a Canadian story, with Canadian filming locations. The writer of the screenplay is Canadian, and I believe there is enough of the cast that is Canadian to consider this officially a Canadian film. It meets those qualifications.
It's a lot of Canadians.
It's a lot of Canadians. And it's directed by an American. And of course, stars the great Nicolas Cage as Ned Hanlon. I mean, you might not have heard of the movie The Boy in Blue, Brian, but I'm sure you've heard of the world famous Canadian sculler, Ned Hanlon, right?
What boy growing up in our generation did not have a poster of Ned Hanlon on their wall?
What boy in our generation wasn't obsessed with the Lakers Bulls and also 1800s rowers?
Exactly.
I mean, you might say he's the Michael Jordan. I almost said Jackson. Michael Jordan of sculling. Yeah. What is sculling, you ask? What, are you a fool? Do you not know the most famous sport of the 1800s?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how people get around not knowing what sculling is.
So, basically, The Boy in Blue is, in many ways, a sort of typical sports movie. About a sport you've probably never cared about, or really would have ever considered a sport. No offense to sculling people, but it is a pretty obscure sport. And the only time I've ever seen it being practiced is in like interstitial stuff in other movies, like an Exorcist or whatever. In the background, you'll just see guys sculling across the water, right? That's the only time you ever see it in movies.
Yeah, because is the Multi-Man one, is that the one probably most people are familiar with nowadays?
The Multi-Man? Like multiple guys in a boat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's sculling though. I don't know. I'm not saying that as a professional. I'm saying that like maybe sculling is just one guy in one special boat. I don't know. It sure was ubiquitous at the time. We're talking about like 1860s, I think, here, as far as the era, which was a surprising thing for me sitting down to watch it this time. I'm like, oh shit, this is like a Western.
it was all like horse and buggy, right? I don't think there was any automobiles.
Yeah. He literally makes a getaway, not on a horse, but in a boat. You know, sculling.
That's true. That's when you can do such things. And they're like, well, he's in a boat, so we obviously can never catch up with him now.
Yeah, exactly. Should I just give like a quick synopsis, or is that your job on this episode? I don't remember. I don't remember either. It's been a while since we've recorded last.
Yeah, behind the scenes, we haven't recorded in summer.
Crazy. Okay. Okay, but we can figure this out. I'll do it. I'm the Canadian. I'll do it.
All right.
So this Canadian Heritage Moment is all about Ned Hanlon, who I think is because I've only just edited Birdie. Birdie was recorded a long time ago, but it's only been finished lately. I've been busy. I'm sorry. This is my second podcast too. So I believe I said he was a college rower last episode. Definitely not. So what I sort of failed to realize/remember, if I ever took it in when I first, I probably watched this movie like in grade 4. So I probably was like reading a book rather than watching movie in class. You know what I mean?
No wonder you thought this was a terrible movie.
Oh yeah. Terrible. I mean, if you watch it at school, it's probably not going to be good. Clash of the Titans, and Dead Poets Society aside.
Oh. My English teacher showed us One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which
That's a good one.
Because we read the book, so.
Nice.
But it has become one of my favorite movies.
That is a fantastic movie.
I do understand your point.
Yeah. So I was kind of poo-pooing this movie behind the scenes to Brian. I guess leading all the way up to the recording of this episode.
You were dreading it. You were just like, oh my gosh. That's the sort of the benchmark. Like, I don't know, things up until we get to that point. And then I think it's smooth sailing after that.
Smooth rowing, you might want to say.
There you go.
Okay. So the thing I neglected to recall, let's just say that, is that sculling was, or scullery? Sculling? I'm not sure exactly what it was called. I think it's sculling, right?
Yeah, the act of skullduggery. I don't know. That's not what that means, but we're going to use it.
This super specific rowing challenge was like the most popular sport in the Western world. So
There was text on the screen at the beginning.
Yeah.
Wasn't there? Yeah. I'm trying to remember if it was that
it says something to that effect. It was on text. Yeah.
Yeah. People win and lose fortunes betting over the sport of sculling.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so there is this. And then we get into the movie and, you know, Ned Hanlon is Nicolas Cage, who is jacked. Like, he's got like the Marvel body in 1986. It's incredible. This guy looks amazing in the 80s.
Yep. Another movie where he spends a lot of it with a shirt off, which I do not blame him. If I look like that, I'd walk around with a shirt on too.
No shit. Guy looks like he's drawn for a comic book sometimes. Ridiculous. Anyway, I guess you got to be in really good shape to be like the world's greatest sculler. So he is a sculler and he's got a trainer, but he's also got, what do you call them? Jesus. Sort of an older fella who helps you with money and you're sort of working with him kind of thing.
Uh, like a sponsor almost.
It's that, but I'm trying to think of the, you know, back like when artists, they would generally, they would have a painter living in their house and, you know, they would, they would be free to paint all day, but they would also owe something to their benefactor. I got the word.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So his benefactor is Knox, played by this great Canadian actor. You may have heard of Christopher Plummer, late great Christopher Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, he sort of falls for Knox's daughter, or wait, niece. It's her uncle, right?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was daughter, but
maybe it's I think it's niece.
Honestly, I didn't pay that close of attention to the relationship.
Just days ago, I watched this movie. I can't remember. Doesn't really matter. I think it might be niece. Anyway, so it's sort of her job under the radar to sort of get, well, to get in, right? To get in and sort of work her way in and be able to pull a plug somehow if she's told to, kind of thing. You know, she's sort of the mole in the operation. But yeah, so we see all the sort of 1800s shenanigans of Ned Hanlon, including, was he stealing moonshine? Or was he just trying to get it across the river or whatever?
I felt like he was delivering it.
Delivering it.
Yeah, that's like, I texted you and said I wanted a Dukes of Hazzard style movie of him just delivering stuff, moonshine, but like with a boat instead of the generally.
Yeah, it's straight up like Fast and the Furious in 1800s on little skinny boats. And also in like an early match, he like straight up runs over another dude. It's fantastic. It's actually kind of exciting. This is the most exciting movie about boat rowing you'll ever see, probably. I mean, it doesn't make it a great movie because it's still for the most part pretty boring. But yeah, I mean, so there you go. And yeah, he's kind of a character. So, you know, there are trials and tribulations, you know, being banned in one place, but also it's not international banned. So he's allowed to go somewhere else or something. I don't know how much I should say. Look, you should all know this. This is history, guys.
Yeah. I mean, this is taught in schools. Everybody should know.
The Boy in Blue, Brian. Give me your thoughts.
Like you said, it's not bad. And since you were downplaying it, I think I went in being like, oh, this is going to be a rough slog, but.
Yeah, I went in like that too. Like I did it for myself. So that, I mean, that probably helps a little.
Yeah. Happy to see when I started it that it was only an hour and a half, which I was like, oh, good. And then, I don't know. It starts off a little interesting because Cage is sort of, now that I'm trying to think about it, is he on his own and then he runs into David Naughton?
And then they start. I didn't even mention David Naughton's in this movie.
Yeah, they start teaming up to sort of.
They become like a racing team.
Yeah,
like he meets I guess he's sort of the benefactor at first, right?
Yeah. He shows up and they start sort of running like. He's like a ringer and nobody knows it.
Yeah.
So they'll go to places, he says the odds against them are like 100-1 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then they'll place bets and then, you know, he'll destroy everybody and then they'll make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the beginning part. And I kind of liked the relationship between him and David Naughton. Like that was kind of fun.
Yeah. It was a surprise to actually see David Naughton and his name come up in the credits at the beginning. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. And if they sort of start off as adversaries, cause Naughton's kind of a sculler as well, but not nearly as good. And after Cage just utterly destroys him by running into him and then, you know, they sort of run into each other and then Cage is last and then he has to sit there because his boat flipped over.
Yeah.
And he just watches Cage like go from last to first. Like it's amazing. And so you can see the light bulb go off like, oh, I don't need to be enemies with this guy. I need to team up with him. We can both make a shit ton of money. And so I like that relationship. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And David Naughton's always great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun to see him. And if you don't know who we're talking about, it's the lead from An American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, I met him once.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty nice.
Right on. Yeah, so in that way, they sort of do a little hustling and stuff. Again, you know, making it kind of like sort of a typical sports movie, which is the only thing that was really interesting about it to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've never seen this format used for this sport before, you know? So, I mean, I'll give any sport movie, I think, you know, a shot, you know, to see what they're doing this time. And I just don't generally like sports movies, but I thought this was a serviceable one, you know?
Well, I have a weird sort of comparison, I guess.
Okay.
That I will compare it to. So this movie, the plot almost plays out very similar to the plot of the Jean-Claude Van Damme classic, Lionheart.
Oh, shit.
Like, you know, it's street fighting, but...
Yeah, and who looked better in their respective starring roles? I might have to go with Nicolas Cage. I mean, Lionheart Jean-Claude Van Damme is good, but it's no blood sport Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Of course. No, I mean, so he shows up.
Yeah, holy shit, you're right. Please, like, yeah, you know, explain it.
Starts doing street fighting and then teams up with this guy who's been in it for a while, and then they make a shit ton of money, and then they get tied up in, like, this big, like, you know, we'll say rich benefactor wants him to fight on their side, and, you know, with the thing that he's going to end up losing, and then he's like, no, and then, you know, comes around at the end. And
right, right. Not only comes around at the end, but full on. Like, full on, you know, basically does the last to first thing, you know?
I guess. Yes, yes. So, I mean, it's weird. I'm just like, this is Lionheart.
now I gotta rewatch Lionheart.
It's so dumb. But I'm just like, all the plot beats are there.
It's the exact same plot as one of the lesser Jean-Claude Van Damme films. You know, they can't put that on the poster.
No. Maybe they saw this movie and they're like, let's just make our own version of it.
They can't put Just Like Boy in Blue on the Lionheart poster either.
So all that stuff was fun. His weird relationships, I feel, was kind of like the boring part of the movie.
Yes, definitely, definitely. When stuff was happening, the movie was kind of exciting, but
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's sort just, of his like.
It's
I'm
just
in
not
love
an exciting story.
And,
yeah, it's like not. No. It's nothing special story wise. That stuff. It's
yeah.
It's also like after shooting some like this. The cinematography makes boat rowing look exciting in at least the first half of this movie. I would say that. Yeah, I was like, this is well shot. This looks great. This looks kind of exciting. Who's going to win? You know, obviously I knew who was going to win. But, you know, like, it's that kind of thing. It does sort of bring you in. It's really good. But, like, a lot of the interpersonal stuff is just pretty boring. Unless it's like David Naughton and Nicolas Cage on screen together, or Christopher Plummer, who's always great.
Yeah, because I guess the big thing is like David Naughton introduces him to the boat guy. Don't know what his title would be, but his big innovation is his boat has a seat that rolls.
Yeah. Okay. So we have to talk about this. Here we go. Okay. All right. Scholar, fanatics.
Scholar heads.
Hold on to your scullery caps. is Ned Hanlon the world's greatest sculler simply because he was using technology that nobody else was using and therefore had an upper leg, upper whatever, upper.
Well, you know. I mean, according to this movie, later others start using it, and he still, like, mops the floor with
them. Yeah, right, yeah. So, but it does sort of explain his superhuman ability to go from last to first in this movie.
Yeah,
Yeah. Although, I guess the first time he did it, he didn't have the sliding seat, did he?
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. I stand sort of corrected, but I'm pouring some side eye over to you, Ned Hanlon.
Yeah, I didn't look up actual facts. I probably should have done that.
Do you know about Canadian Heritage Moments?
I do not. You've mentioned that multiple times. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's funny because I'm trying to remember what movie it was, but I just reviewed a movie. I think it was with Tom for... Oh, maybe it was Curtains? Yeah, so the Canadian slasher Curtains? I think it's Curtains. The director directed like 18 of these heritage moments. So we have these Canadian heritage moments. They're like 2-minute... things about something about Canadian history, you know, like my favorite one is it's Joe Shuster, right? Yeah. So
Superman.
Yeah. So Superman was created by two cousins, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And I'm trying to remember. I think Jerry Siegel is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Like they based based Metropolis on Toronto and all that. And that's, yeah. And so that's one of the little Canadian heritage moments. And also, you know, the invention of basketball, right?
Nice.
By a Canadian guy in America. Come on. We're stretching here, people. But, but yeah, so there's these little, I don't know, 90-second to 2-minute sort of little history lessons that you'd get on TV, instead of commercials for like one commercial break sometimes. Oh, so okay. I don't know. There were like 80 something or 90 something of these heritage moments. I guess. Maybe they might not be online, but yeah, it's not coming up when I Google Ned Hanlon heritage moment. So you'd think it would.
Yeah. We didn't really have stuff like that, I guess. We had anti-drug commercials.
Right. Well, we had those. Well, I guess we got those on your channels anyway. But. Yeah. And we all got, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Do you know where your children are? Like the scariest voice they could find.
Yeah, he's huffing glue. huffing glue, the boy in blue.
you know what to do.
surely to make you enjoy the film more, but we here at Cage Dive don't recommend huffing any sort of noxious chemicals. But anything else to say about The Boy in Blue?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like the David Naughton relationship. Yeah. He gets with the Christopher Plummer stuff, and then, you know, you can kind of, once that happens, I'm like, oh, I can see exactly where this is going. Mm-hmm. So, like you pointed out, it pretty much plays out like any other sports movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's not a big surprise, but overall, not terrible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say the worst one we've watched.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. I find the period thing interesting, like to see like a popular sports movie set, you know, in the time where, if you're watching a movie set in this era, it usually has somebody getting shot and falling off of a balcony. You know what I mean? Like it's a Western movie, like the, essentially. So yeah, you're either watching something that's like Little House on the Prairie, or you're watching, you know, some stranger come to town and start shooting people or whatever.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see a sports movie set in this era, you know, and it's not like shooting or something, you know, like something you'd expect.
Especially where this is sort of set, there's lots of like riverboats and stuff. So you would expect like poker and stuff like that, but it never really gets into the.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's no other gambling except betting on sculling, you know? Weird.
Yeah. I did enjoy the scene where they're at the bar and the, you know, Nicolas Cage has just embarrassed all these people in this area. And yes. The old guy sent him a drink, but David Naughton knows better and gives it to like a reporter that comes and sits down.
Right, right.
And of course that makes them sick. And then they're like, nice try.
It's a good trick. Poor reporter.
Let's send in the heavies instead. So then there's fist fights.
Yeah. 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 It's got every one of those tropes. I just, yeah. Now, and see, now, like, I'm actually sort of curious about the historical story. Like, like how much was this colorized for film? You know, because the film was still not extremely exciting. So, like, how much was this added to, you know, to make the story not a total bore? I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, like, you know, did he go work for that guy? And was it this big treacherous turn that he then has to go, you know, independent again and whatever? Yeah. And is that even recorded history? Who knows?
Yeah, man, this is a weird one. This is sort of like the end of the early awkward phase, though, right?
Yeah, which I don't remember, because he still has his awkward teeth in this movie.
Yeah, so I guess this was filmed before Birdie, released after Birdie.
Yeah.
Filmed before and released after.
I was trying to remember if he had gotten his teeth fixed in one of the last ones we did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you give the movie out of 5?
I'd go a good 3.5.
Oh, really?
It was enjoyable. Okay. It was enjoyable. You know, it was a subject I was not familiar with, and sometimes if the movie does its job correctly, I can kind of get into that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just learning it. Learning a lifestyle that I don't really know anything about.
Right.
Obviously it's highly fictionalized and, you know, it's Nicolas Cage, so you just kind of have to go with it.
Yeah. But, yeah. It feels a little spiced up. Like there's no way this is the true story.
For sure.
There's no way it's even that exciting.
But overall, like all the performances I thought were pretty good. Like there's nobody I can point to and be like, well, this person kind of dropped the ball. Like, Christopher Plummer's good. David Naughton's good.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Plummer's always good.
Yeah.
So.
In, what was it, Star Crash?
Yeah. He's got gravitas, man. He's got gravitas. But speaking of specific actors, what about your Cage rating for this film?
Oh,
I didn't say. I'm a 3 on the movie. I'm a 3 on the
three?
Movie.
3? Okay. Yeah. I go maybe 1.5.
Okay.
He's pretty mellow.
Yes.
He's pretty, we'll say, he comes off like an ordinary person, which is unusual for Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
He maybe has a couple of interesting moments, but nothing that like, you know, nothing that super stands out above anybody else.
Right.
As far as just weird character quirks or development or whatever.
Right.
I feel like maybe all of his attention went into building up his body, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where most of my Cage points came from. Just like, holy shit. Like, he's ripped. But still, I'm only going to go a 1.5 on the Cage rating.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, so subdued. And sometimes he's subdued where, like, his, like, you know, dude voice comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, where he's doing, like, the slow, quiet, cool guy thing. And that's cool. But that's not what was happening in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's 1.5 points solely on the body. Well done, Mr. Cage.
Nice. It's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And so adding up all our scores and dividing by 4 gives us the average rating for this movie. And I think it's kind of apt. And that is 2.5.
Yeah, that seems about right.
So just for anybody who's, I don't know, if you're nerdy enough to be keeping track, God bless you. But that gives this film the same score as Best of Times, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a sad rating, Because we both went zero on the cage, but we both went 5 out of 5 on the film. So 2.5 rating on that one. In a different podcast, that would probably be our highest rated movie.
Yeah.
And also The Cotton Club, funnily enough. I would say The Boy in Blue is better than The Cotton Club for me.
I'm even trying to remember what I thought of The Cotton Club.
But also Best of Times and Fast Times at Ridgemont High is better than both of them to me.
Oh, of course. Yes. Best of Times, the general just weirdness of that was better than
100%. 100%. And next time, behind the scenes, Brian and I are going to be recording the next episode. And we are continuing through our, well, I guess we're completing our journey through 1986 with a look at a movie that's sort of the first film in a new direction for Cage. It is 1986's Peggy Sue Got Married, starring the awesome Kathleen Turner and...
Mm.
Directed once again, Uncle Frank Coppola.
Yeah.
So he went back to the Nicolas Cage well. He did.
we're completing our 1986 run by going back to 1960.
Yeah. Well, weirdly enough. Yeah. When did Back to the Future come out?
1985.
Okay. Right after that, hey? Interesting.
Yeah.
Because Coppola and him are buddies. Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Never thought about that. We should probably end this episode and then get right to talking about Peggy Sue.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
All right. Brian, you want to send people anywhere?
I don't know. Head over to themidnightdrivein.com.
Cool.
That's my other movie show where we team up two weird movies that usually have some super tenuous connection that we can try to put together.
It's the best connection.
Exactly.
A vague sort of fleeting connection. Yeah,
We did one show because there are two movies that had an actor named Edgar Allan Poe IV.
Whoa.
He was an extra in both of them. We don't even know where he was at, but he was in both of them.
Crazy. That is a super tense. The films share an extra. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Check out Dread Media. Dreadmedia.com. I'm at Dread Media on, pretty much most of the things. So, and I think you're Brian Wolford on most of the things, right?
Most of the things. Yeah. I usually don't post anything interesting. So,
yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Until next time, Peggy Sue Got Married. I'm Desmond. That's Brian. We're going to continue on our dive. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.